Good evening. I was joking earlier that as soon as I turned the mic on, it would hum, and it did. So if we could start off with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this day you've provided. I thank you that we can come here together, fellowship in front of your word and fellowship in prayer, Lord. We would echo an amen to all the prayers given, and our heart goes out to all those who are in need and in hurt, and we would pray for them. And Lord, I just pray for our own hearts, Lord, that we would be loyal to you, that we would trust in you more fully, Father. Give me words to say as I speak from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been studying through the Old Testament lately, and if you look at all the different kings, King David has always been my favorite. I'm named after him, and so I have a natural affinity. But a couple things that struck me about King David versus almost all the other kings, two things. One, even though he wasn't perfect, every time he did sin, he looked to the Lord with a repentant heart. And the second was just the simplicity of his love for Christ. Even throughout his life to the very end, he had almost what I would call a childlike love for the Lord. And so with that in mind, I'd ask you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and see a rather unique period in David's life that the Lord laid on my heart. First Chronicles 21, starting in verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And down to verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, "I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now, I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you.'" So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me." And David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, "It is enough. Now restrain your hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. This passage has a what I'll call a sister chapter over in 2 Samuel 24. And if you read them both, it's very interesting to see all that goes on. And at first glance, to us in our culture, it doesn't make sense what David did wrong. Why was it so bad that he chose to number the people of Israel? To me, that's strange. I don't know about to you, but if you will turn to Exodus 30, there's a verse in the law that sheds a little light on why it was wrong for David to number the people of Israel. Exodus 30, verse 12 says, "When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, and there that there may be no plague among you when you number them." So, first and foremost, the sin of David was by disobeying the law of God. The command of God was that if you were to number the children of Israel, you were to give a ransom for each person who you numbered. And the reason for that was that this practice reminded the king and the people that each individual belonged to the Lord. The strength of numbers, if you look back in this passage, they talk about, I believe, a million people of the children of Israel, and then I believe it was 400,000 for Judah. Those numbers to David were, wow, look how great of a king I am. I own this massive kingdom. I have these valiant men. I have great numbers at my command. Look who I am. And God said in the law, no, it's not about you. These people are mine. And so when David numbered the people and did not give anything to the Lord, did not give the ransom required, David was being prideful in his heart against the Lord. This is one of at least two cases where David is specifically listed as sinning. But unlike all the other kings of Israel, his attitude was completely different. Some even righteous kings scorned the prophets who came to them. One put the prophet in prison when he rebuked him. But David, when the prophet Gad came to him, actually even before, it says that the plague had broke out, he recognized his sin. And if you look at the other passage back in 2 Samuel, it said David's heart, it smote him. He knew he had done wrong. But what did he do? If you go down to verse 8, so David said to God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." He humbled himself. He recognized the reality of his sin. He claimed it as having done it himself. And again, later in the chapter, he does the same thing. And he confessed it. How easy it is when we sin to say, it wasn't really my fault. I could have done, you know, I'm just doing what I thought was best. Or, well, I didn't know. But David confessed. And what's more, he accepted his punishment with a rather amazing attitude, considering how potentially destructive these punishments were. What was David's choice? We got three options. Either 3 years famine, 3 months of defeat from his foes, or 3 days of plague. It's interesting to note that it says specifically the sword of the Lord and the plague in the land. That's what David chose, because he had a heart that was loyal to the Lord. He looked at the Lord and said, "I trust in the mercy and the loving kindness of the Lord." And he chose that the Lord would discipline him by his own hand and not by the hand of man, because he considered God to be merciful and kind. And when I think of the Lord, and when I think of the times in my life where I sin against the Lord, that is the attitude that I want to have. An attitude of trust. A simplicity of love for the Lord. That though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And as we can see in verse 15, David's trust in the Lord was not misplaced. It said that when the angel of God came to Jerusalem, God stopped the angel's sword and told him to put it back in his sheath. so the plague was stopped because of the mercy of the Lord. Yes, there were many men who fell, and that is a consequence of sin. But the Lord in His mercy did not show as much punishment as He could have. If you will turn to 1 John in chapter 4, I believe this explains what exactly King David had. In 1 John 4, 16 through 18. And we have known and believe the Lord that God, and we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. And I think of that in my own life. What do I do in response to the discipline of the Lord? What do I do in response to when I know that I have sinned? Confession of sin before the Lord for the believer yields the Lord's forgiveness. The Lord promises that he will forgive sin that is confessed by the believer. But look here and see in verse 16, starts off with known and believed the love. So first, known is the head knowledge, the knowledge of the depth of the love of God to be able to forgive our sin. And then believe is the heart knowledge, the knowledge deep down, not just that it was said, but that it is really so. If I would really love the Lord and really understand the depth of his love for me, I would be able to accept his discipline and choose that no matter what happens, to remember the Lord's ultimate control and power, but especially to put hope and faith in the love and mercy of my God. Love does not fear. I don't need to fear the discipline of the Lord. I don't need to fear punishment. Because if the Lord disciplines me, it is for my good. And even though he may have to discipline me much at times, the Lord does all that he does out of great love and mercy. And that is my hope for myself and each of us, that as we know God's love more and more, as we understand it more, that we would start to react to situations in this manner. First, recognize our sin. Claim it as what we have done and no one else. To confess it. Repent of the sin and turn from it. Not just a word confession, but a heart confession, a turning from the wrong. And then accept whatever consequences come, whatever discipline the Lord gives us. Look to the Lord and see his love. And do not fear, because God's perfect love casts out fear. I'd like to close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your great love and mercy for us. And we ask that we would understand the depths of your love. We want to know you better. And we want to understand how you deal with us. As we look at how David responded to you and how you responded to David, we have hope in your mercy and kindness. And Lord, we would like to be faithful and have hearts that are loyal to you. because it says in your word that the eyes of the Lord turn to and fro, seeking the one whose heart is loyal to him, so that God can show himself strong on their behalf. Lord, we want to have loyal hearts before you, that you may use us powerfully for your own sake. We commit this night and week to your great care and love. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.